At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I don't know what to say, the monkeys won't do. And I also don't know what to say about those crazy producers from the Geek Cop Radio Network. They're driving me crazy! Ugh.
Hello and welcome to the 94th episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, TFJ Mike, and today I'm joined by Nightwing. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great.
That's good, that's good. Today we are going to be continuing the DC Animated Universe Spotlight with Superman the Animated Series. And before we get into the show, I just want to not really start the show on a sad note or anything, but it was today, wasn't it, that it happened?
Today or yesterday, one of those two. Happened yesterday, actually.
I thought it was today. It was yesterday. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that, folks. We are recording this Wednesday night. I almost said July. Why the hell did I almost say July? Wednesday night, February 23rd, 2011, on the 22nd of 2011, February 22nd, 2011, Dwayne McDuffie passed away. I believe it was due to surgical complications. He was having some surgery done, and unfortunately, he passed away. And for those who don't know, Dwayne McDuffie was the co-creator of Milestone Comics. He was a co-creator of Static or the show.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, he was one of the main heads on Static Shock. He also wrote numerous Justice League and Justice League Unlimited episodes. He rewrote Justice League Worlds Collide to be what Justice League Crisis on Two Earths is for the DC Universe animated original movies. So hereforth, all of the DCAU spotlights on Tooncast will be dedicated to Dwayne's memory, as well as Boyd Kirkland's memory, because Boyd Kirkland was a director over on Batman the Animated Series, and he had passed away a couple of weeks ago. So all of the DCAU Spotlight episodes here on Tooncast are dedicated to their memory. It was just shocking to me when I heard this news. I was like, what really?
Yeah, it's so weird. He was doing interviews for All-Star Superman.
Which he was doing all the press stuff for it, yeah.
Yeah, and people were saying that he seemed perfectly, you know, healthy and energetic, and all of a sudden just bam, out of nowhere, he's dead, and that's, yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's so very, very terrible.
Although, you know, of all notes to go out on, All-Star Superman is a great one. I mean, that is a great movie.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to catch it yet.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Maybe the best of them so far. It's really great.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to catch it yet, and one of the things that, you know, most people make their first impressions off of trailers or special, like, you know, especially with the DC Universe animated films, they usually show off a trailer or a behind-the-scenes feature on the previous film, mm-hmm. which is what they did with Superman Superman Batman Apocalypse, they had shown the little preview for All-Star Superman, and I wasn't really too thrilled with the voice cast choices. Specifically Superman's, I can't see James Denton, a.k.a. Mike from Desperate Housewives, as Superman. I just can't hear that. While I do agree that Anthony LaPaglia as Lex Luthor, that's just amazing casting. But, you know, as far as, like, my final judgment, whether I'm going to like All-Star Superman or not, I'm going to have to wait until I actually see it, because I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
Well, you know, on the note of James Denton, he actually is very, very good. I was surprised. I mean, in the comic All-Star Superman, Superman is a little bit, he seems a bit aloof and a little bit detached, not very humble, which I kind of hated. But in this story, he feels very down to earth, like a very personable guy, and he definitely is Superman. I mean, you know, he's not like a Tim Daly. He doesn't sound like the same, but yeah, he definitely is great. All the voice cast, they're all really great. Lois Lane, Christina Hendricks did a great job. She's the first Lois Lane, I think, where she really is attractive. She's not just funny. She's not just, you know, hot to look at as an actress. No, she actually really does, you know, you can understand why Superman is attracted to her. So I
you
like
mean the Lois Lane character or Christina Hendricks herself?
Both.
Okay, well, I would argue with you that Dana Delaney is also very hot.
Yes. But I would argue that her main asset, you know, as well, we'll get into this later, but you know, is that she's more quick-witted and funny and smart. And she's perfect as Lois Lane.
Yeah,
you know, I think Christina Hendricks is a little more, we'll say, attractive. You know,
and again, it goes to people's tastes, and that's fine. But as far as like everyone that has voiced Lois in the DC Universe movies, I would probably agree with you on Christina Hendricks's voicing her. But Dana Delaney wins out overall for me.
Oh, absolutely! I totally agree. She is the perfect Lois Lane.
Yes.
I think. Even though Christina Hendricks is a little bit hotter, I guess. No. Dana Delaney is absolutely the definitive Lois Lane.
Yes, she is. And for those of you not figuring it out by now, today we are talking about Superman, the animated series.
Woo!
Yes. Often shortened to Superman TAS or STAS, as most of us DCAU fanatics shorten it that much. It is an American animated television series starring DC Comics' flagship character Superman. The series was produced by Warner Brothers Animation and aired on the WB from September 6, 1996 to February 12, 2000. Warner Brothers applied the same more modern, more serious animated treatment to DC Comics' flagship character in the same way that they had successfully produced Batman the Animated Series. As with the first season of Batman TAS, the main opening title sequence of Superman TAS had no actual title. The series was met with high praise from both critics and fans, claiming it to be the most faithful adaptation of Superman to date, and even nominated for an Emmy. Slightly to moderately edited reruns were aired on Toon Disney and are currently shown on Disney XD. So what are your general memories of Superman the Animated Series, sir?
Let's see. My first ever Superman that I ever saw was actually the Dean Cain, Terry Hatcher, Lois and Clark series, the live-action one. And but, you know, this was very similar in that it was also based off the post-crisis reboot of Superman, where he was more down-to-earth, but a little more personal, less godlike. And, yeah, you know, when I was 7 years old, I first saw this show, and I thought, whoa, okay, this is awesome. And, yeah, I started watching it. I watched every episode as a kid. As soon as it came out, I watched it every day I possibly could. It's, I think this is probably the definitive, well, this is the best on-screen version of the Superman universe, you know, just in the terms of the way it portrays Metropolis and all the characters and everything and their relationships. I think this really is, you know, the definitive version. And for me, it's by far the definitive version. I think my Superman. This is the one that I always think of when I think of a character. Yeah. There's other ones that have other attributes that I think maybe are a little bit better here and there, but overall, this is my personal Superman.
Yeah. For me, I told the story last episode about when Batman the Animated Series was on television back in the 90s, that my stepmother told me that I was not allowed to watch it because it was too...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I think I completely missed on Superman. I think I may have caught one episode as a 16, 17-year-old kid, because it ran from 96 to 2000. I may have caught one or two episodes, but I never actually caught the entire series run. And then our next week's episode, Batman Beyond, I caught an episode of that, and I was hooked. And, of course, yeah. I'll tell that story next week. But, yeah, as, you know, 16, 17-year-old kid, I don't ever remember watching Superman. But as, you know, I think by the time I was 25, 26, somewhere around there, I don't remember, a few years ago, about 5-6 years ago, I came around to it and absolutely love it. There are a few episodes that aren't that great, but the overall feel of the show, the overall character design, the voice acting is just amazing.
Yeah, I actually have the opposite story with Batman and Superman, because I actually was too young at the time to watch Batman when it was first running, so I only caught the new Batman Adventures, the redesign, mm-hmm. and I caught a bit of the older series. I think I saw one episode of Batman the Animated Series. I saw Robin's Reckoning Part 1. I didn't get to see Part 2 for another, like, 2 or 3 years. That was terrible. But, yeah, so I had the exact opposite experience, where I missed most of Batman TAS until... and then actually when I was about 9, my mom said I couldn't watch Batman or Superman because it was too violent. So I was like, no! And that ruined the rest of my childhood. But then, yeah, when I was older, I went back and I got the DVDs, and I love them, so yeah.
Yeah. Jerrica in the chat was saying something about Space Ghost hosting a marathon on WB or Cartoon Network when they did a Superman-Batman marathon. Yeah. They've done stuff like that before when it's been in syndication. I don't know how qualified Space Ghost is to host a Batman Superman marathon, but yes. So getting into the characters and voice actors, much like the BTAS episode, I'm going to go down the line of the actual voice actors and then the characters. And I'm going to try to sound less shocked, because apparently Glade Packer said I sounded too shocked when I was reading through some of the BTAS stuff. Really, the only one that really shocked me from BTAS, because I never knew it, was the fact that Helen Slater, a.k.a. Supergirl, voiced Talia al Ghul.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. That surprised me too.
I didn't know that at all. That was the only one that really shocked me out of the BTAS list. So... as far as the actors, you've got Tim Daly as Superman, Michael Ironside, who is Darkseid, and it is Darkseid, not Seed, people. Yes. It's Darkseid.
It's even spelled Side. If you don't know that, you just don't know English. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's spelled S-E-I and not S-I.
Yeah, that's what it means. Yeah, it's just.
Clancy Brown as Lex Luthor, as we said before. Dana Delaney as Lois Lane. David Kaufman as James Jimmy Olsen. Corey Burton as Brainiac. Gilbert Gottfried as... Oh, God, I know I'm going to fuck this up. As Mr. Spidlick. I think I got that right.
Well, in the comics, I believe it's pronounced Mixius Spidlick.
Yeah.
But in the animated series, it's... Mix, yes, spit, lick. It's like 4 different words. He spells it out in the show.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different.
And then you have Joseph Bologna, I think that's how you have Bologna. I don't know. I don't mean to butcher the guy's last name, but it's Bologna is the way it looked like.
Mm.
As SCU Lieutenant Dan Turpin. Again, George DeSanza, who I cannot pronounce his last name to save my life, was Perry White. Lisa Edelston was Mercy Graves. Lauren Tom was Angela Chen. Mike Farrell was Jonathan Kent. Shelley Fabrez was Martha Kent. Julie Fisher was Lana Lang. Victor Brandt was Professor Emil Hamilton. Jonah Cassidy was Inspector Maggie Sawyer. And some notable regular guests. You've got Ron Perlman, who is the DCAU voice god. Mm-hmm. Anything he does in DCAU is just amazing.
Yep.
Even though Teen Titans is not in continuity. Leslie Easterbrook as Mala, Sarah Douglas as... Oh, Mala had two different voice actresses, okay.
Yep.
Malcolm McDowell as John Corbin, Michael awesome. Dorn. Michael Dorn, war!
Yeah!
As Kalibak. So there you go, Star Trek buffs. He was Kalibak and John Henry Irons, a.k.a. Steel. Laurie Petty as Leslie Willis and slash Livewire. Bruce Weitz as Bruno Mannheim, Jodie Benson as Angela Evans-Smith, Brad Garrett as the main man Lobo, Bibbo Ooh. And Nito Corrali. I don't remember that character off the top of my head.
Yeah, me neither.
William H. Macy as the director of the Paranormals Institute, Jason Marsden as the teenage Clark Kent, Nicole Tom as Supergirl, Bud Cort as Toyman, Melissa Joan Hart as Saturn Girl, Chad Lowe as Cosmic Boy, Scott Menville as Braverman, Kenny Braverman.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know. It's one of those Teen Titans or Legion of Superheroes crossovers.
Yeah, you're right.
I can't believe this next title. Oh, God, I can't believe this. Brandon Walsh. Oh, wait, I mean Jason Priestley as... Rick Daggle, a.k.a. Chameleon Boy. And, of course, the ever-present, the ever-awesome Kevin Conroy as Bruce Wayne slash Batman, Mark Hamill as the Joker, Paul Williams as the Penguin, John Glover as the Riddler, Bob Hastings as Commissioner James Gordon, Charity James as Roxy Rocket, Roddy McDowell as the Mad Hatter, Henry Silva as Bane, Matthew Valencia as Tim Drake slash Robin, and David Warner as Ra's al Ghul.
Heck yeah.
I know that's a long cast listing, but if you had to pick a favorite and least favorite character from Superman the Animated Series, who would they be and why?
Oh, man. Okay, well, Superman is obviously a great one to pick, but, you know, it's so hard. I want to pick Lois, just because I think she was so well portrayed by Dana Delaney.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, she didn't do anything in the show. Like, you know, she did occasionally she might, you know, save Superman by throwing the kryptonite away from him, or she rescued him that one time in the finale.
But yeah.
In general, she doesn't do much. She's just kind of there to further the plot to an extent and to get saved, which is interesting because her character and the way she's portrayed, you know, that's not really her personality. It's just the situation or surrounding her. But still, I don't know. I think personality-wise, I like Lois the best, but overall, I gotta say, Superman is just, this is the definitive Superman for me, so I'll give it to him, I think.
Yeah. What about least favorite?
Good question. I don't really hate any character from this show. Jax Err and Mala are up there as being pretty annoying.
Even though the voice acting for Jaxer was awesome, but yeah, the characters themselves kind of meh.
I mean, I appreciate. I'm glad we had those episodes because I think you always need that episode with the Phantom Zone and having the criminals come back out. It's an important part of the Superman mythos. I think it's a good thing to have in there. Ironically enough, my least favorite is going to be a weird one. It's going to be Jonathan Kent because... Maybe I was spoiled by watching Smallville later and how John Schneider portrayed him so well in that show.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this Jonathan Kent has no depth. He's just there to make a kind of funny or dopey remark every now and then. He has almost no real resonance. And I think, considering the fact that they went with the post-crisis version where both the parents are still alive, I think you needed them to really be a good presence in his life. And Martha Kent was sort of like that. She had some decently insightful dialogue, but Jonathan Kent was almost like her goofy counterpart. He wasn't that goofy, but still, it was, you know, he was a little pointless. So I think, you know, it's kind of disappointing for me.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. I think what they should have done, and I know they didn't do this because obviously I don't think at the time they really thought about it. And I'm not sure if these two people would have been able to even voice the characters, but Eddie Jones and Kay Callan, who actually portrayed on screen Martha and Jonathan in Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, they would have been a nice voice over for the Kents in this series, I think.
Yeah, they were good. I liked them a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jonathan and Martha aren't, you know, they're not seen that much as far as I remember. I mean, they're seen obviously in the beginning, obviously in the Last Son of Krypton three-parter, and they're seen in, you know, sporadic episodes throughout. So it wouldn't be a steady, if Kay Callan and Eddie Jones had the time, it would have just been, you know, like one of those one-shot voice roles that you come in every once in a while. It wouldn't be like someone like Tim Daly or Dana Delaney where you have to be every day or what, you know, however the voice acting schedule went. But I think it could have brought more to them.
I think, they were very rarely seen, but they were very important just because, I mean, they were there during, you know, the scenes where Clark becomes Superman. So they helped forge his character. And then there's the episode later where it seems like Clark Kent has died. You know, the late Mr. Kent, where Superman has to figure out what he's going to do now that everyone thinks Clark Kent is dead. And in that episode, you know, you've got him going back to Smallville, and he's like, what do I do now?
Yeah.
And they have a conversation with him, and that was the perfect time to have some deep character development with them just talking to him. And Martha Kent talks to him, but Jonathan doesn't have much to do. There's a whole episode called Father's Day where he shows up in Metropolis, and there's this whole parallel between Superman and his dad, Jonathan Kent, and Kalibak and his father, Darkseid, yet Jonathan Kent, he's just kind of there to kind of get in trouble and make a goofy joke every now and then. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying at all that the Martha and Jonathan are ancillary characters at all in this cartoon. I'm saying that I think that Eddie Jones and Kay Callan would have fit the characters better than the voice actors that they got to fit them. They would have put
right
that emotion. Eddie Jones would have, you know, done more with the Father's Day episode. So, yeah. For me, as far as favorite characters, it actually boils down to how they interact with everybody. No one can deny that Clancy Brown is the best voice acting Lex Luthor. And actually, it's funny because I don't know why. I don't remember off the top of my head, and maybe it'll say it later in the script. I haven't read through the whole script yet, but they made Lex black in this series.
Well, no, he's not actually black. He has a slightly darker skin tone, and his lips are a bit bigger. But technically, in interviews, they mentioned that he's not actually black. He's sort of a little bit like of a mixed race, I guess. He's mostly Caucasian, like we'll say 75%, but he's got a little bit of something else in there. So he's not actually black. People confuse that a lot, though, but like if you put him next to other black characters on the show, it's like night and day. It's very different. And in Justice League, when he comes back, he's totally white. They changed his skin tone so people wouldn't be confused anymore.
Yeah, he still does, like when I see, and I'm not, you know, we're not going to get into a big debate over this. That's fine, but like seeing him next to Superman, seeing their faces next to each other, Superman is white. Lex Luthor is a darker, way darker shade than Superman. So
I can see that.
And I'm not saying that to be racist at all. I'm just saying that because that's the way I perceived it. And one of the reasons why I perceived him as African American was because that's what I thought that the character model looked like, and if that's incorrect, you know, I'm sorry. At the time, that's what I thought it was. And originally, I thought because it was an African American Lex Luthor, I thought Clancy Brown was African American.
Well, when I was a kid, I used to think that he had an African American voice actor, even though I didn't think he was black. So yeah, I was with you on that one.
Yeah. And then Dana Delaney as Lois is just awesome. I mean, if I had to pick, like, my favorite character out of this, I probably wouldn't be able to. I mean, I can go ahead and pick Superman because Tim Daly did an awesome job. I mean, Tim Daly voiced not only Clark and Superman, even though they're the same person, he also voiced Bizarro.
Yeah, that was so weird.
What's even better is later in Justice League, when George Newbern takes over Superman's role because Tim Daly wasn't available at the time to reprise, George Newbern also does Bizarro in Justice League. And you know, I've told this story before, and I'll tell it again here. I mean, I know that we're focusing on Superman the Animated Series, but since we are talking about voice acting here, from the time that I found out about Justice League until obviously I've watched it millions and millions of times, I just wrapped up a podcast about Justice League, Secret Origins podcast. Go over to geekcastradio.com, check it out. The change from Daly to Newbern, I never noticed it. I never noticed it.
Oh, I totally noticed it, and I hated it when I first saw it. On that first episode, it didn't help that in Justice League they gave Superman those like horrible age lines on his around his eyes and his cheeks.
Yeah.
But he has like this frog in his throat. If you compare the two voices, there's a really clear difference. Although, in the second season Justice League episode Twilight, where that's where they took away the age lines and they made Superman, they brought back the Darkseid Superman conflict from this series.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, Daly, like, I guess he'd been practicing because Newbern. I thought he'd been practicing because I thought he was Tim Daly. I was like, oh,
that's what I'm saying. As far as just in general, I mean, not specifically season one or season two of Justice League, but just overall his voicing of Superman, I didn't realize it was somebody different. And I know I'm going to end up bringing this up in the Justice League episode of Tooncast, but, I hadn't thought that I had ever seen George Newbern like in anything else, mm-hmm. other than like the special features for Justice League, and I didn't recognize him. And then I don't know, a couple years ago, for some strange reason, don't ask me why, I put in the DVD player Adventures in Babysitting. He is in Adventures in Babysitting with Elizabeth Shue.
Okay.
I really like the dynamic between Mixie and Superman. I thought that was hilarious. Yeah.
They're perfect.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I do like I love Darkseid and Kalibak. Michael Ironside. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Ironside, I don't care who you are, Michael Ironside, and I know you'll agree with me, but Michael Ironside is the definitive Darkseid for animation.
He's the definitive Darkseid, period. I don't care
right.
for anything.
Yeah.
He's the definitive Darkseid forever and ever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's just the voice in flight, and it's Ironside's voice. I've seen him in so many other things, and before I even knew about Superman, I've seen him in so many other things. One of the ones specifically I can think of off the top of my head, which might make people cringe, is Starship Troopers.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Well, I don't know. Some people may or may not like it, but yeah, Starship Troopers.
Cheesy, but it's good.
The way he handled the Darkseid character was just amazing, and I so wish, and I know we can't go back in time and have it done this way, I so wish they brought back Conroy, they brought back Daly, they brought back, who else did they bring back in Apocalypse? Ed Asner as Granny Goodness. You know, they brought back those three, but they couldn't bring back Ironside as Darkseid.
Yeah,
they had to use Andre Brower. Don't get me wrong. I love Andre Brower as an actor in most of the stuff he does, but I'm sorry. That Darkseid voice sucked. But that's another subject for another day.
Right, right.
Yes, 65 years in the future. Tooncast Beyond. Anyway, who is your favorite voice? I mean, I know we talked about characters, but who is, like, the one voice that you could listen to all the time? Which voice actor did you like the best?
Dana Delaney is up there.
Mm-hmm.
Probably between Dana Delaney and Michael Ironside, I think. Yeah, I also did like Jolie Fisher as Lana Lang, or Lana Lang, as she's called in the series.
Yeah.
I thought she was lots of fun. Yeah, you know, probably one of those. One of those.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree on Damon Delaney as Lois. Even though it's just his own voice, I love Garrett as Lobo and as Bibbo.
Yes.
Specifically, I love Garrett. Brad Garrett as Bibbo because of all the mutterings he does.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then I love him as Lobo for just how in your face he is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So getting into some behind-the-scenes stuff, some production notes here. For those of you who may not know, the character of Dan Terrible Turpin was visually modeled after the character's creator, Jack Kirby. His first appearance in the episode Tools of the Trade also marks the first series appearance of the Fourth World characters and concepts that were Jack Kirby's major modern DC Comics creation. Hmm. Yeah, that episode, Apocalypse Now, oh,
yeah,
damn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a really, really bad ending, but it was a nice in memory of Kirby.
Well, I thought it was a perfect ending, personally.
Okay. Let's see. Series producer Bruce Timms personally storyboarded Superman's climactic final fight with Darkseid in the series finale Legacy to ensure it would be done right and have it as much as an impact as possible.
Good job.
I don't think you can get much more of an impact than that, other than, you know, slow motion Matrix fist to the face in Destroyer in Justice League.
Well, there's that, yeah. I mean, his fight with Darkseid in Twilight in Justice League was also very good. I mean, that was awesome. But this was definitely one of their only and best fights.
The top three Superman Darkseid fights, I think there's only been three of them, you know, like big major battles was Legacy, Twilight, and Destroyer. I love all three of them. For different reasons and all that. I love the one in Twilight for, and I'm not going to stop until you're just a greasy smear on my fist.
Well, that's the one where Superman is like, screw you, Darkseid, I'm going to take you down. And he does. I mean,
yep.
It's so great. Because actually, with that episode, when they first aired it, it was the third hour of a three-hour Superman Justice League marathon. And on Cartoon Network actually showed Apocalypse Now. And then parts 1 and 2. Then they showed Legacy parts 1 and 2. And then they showed this episode for the first time as a full 1 hour episode. So you saw, you know, Darkseid beat Superman down in Apocalypse Now. Then you saw Superman get brainwashed and then beat Darkseid, but ultimately not entirely win the war in Legacy. So by the time you saw Twilight, you were so ready to see Superman just unleash on Darkseid and finally beat him, and he did, and it was awesome. And everyone cheered. It was amazing.
Yes. Let's see. I found this very interesting. I did not know this. And I've actually, if I could get a degree in DCAU knowledge, I would so get a degree in it because I've studied this stuff for years now since I've known about it. But I did not know this little trivia fact. Clancy Brown, who voiced Lex, originally auditioned for the lead role of Superman. That would be a very different Superman.
How did he play that?
I don't know. If we ever get an interview with him, I'm so going to ask him.
I hope he played it just like Lex, with that exact same like sinister dark tone.
Probably. And then the funny thing is about Clancy Brown, I just found this out the other day. I knew it in the back of my head, but it didn't occur to me. A couple weekends ago, I was watching The Shawshank Redemption. Mm-hmm. And he is Guard Hadley in that, the head guard.
Before
Shawshank, I had never seen Clancy Brown in a live-action role. And I have seen Shawshank a number of times over the years since it's been released, and I never put two and two together until I started listening to Hadley's voice in that movie, and I'm like, gotta be Clancy Brown because it sounds just like Lex. Let's see here. Getting into some of the directors and the producers and all that stuff, you know, obviously we're just going to briefly talk about some of these guys and gals. Kurt Gaeta, Dan Reba, who are mainstays. Booch, is it Luchik or Lukic? I don't know how to say his last name.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Luchik, we'll say.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Of course, Joe Shuster and Jerry Siegel created Superman, Paul Dini, Hilary Bader, Rich Fogel, Alan Burnett, Stan Berkowitz, Jack Kirby, Bill Finger, Bob Kane, Mark Evanier, Bruce W. Tim, just amazing, amazing writing. And the one thing I love about DCAU, and I'll say this in future episode, the one thing I love is when Bruce Tim and them were able to, they brought in the creators. Like, Bill Finger and
right.
Kane did 5 episodes of this series. Obviously, I think those probably were the 5 episodes that probably featured Batman, obviously. Jack Kirby and his Fourth World characters. Who's another one on here? Jerry and Joe, obviously, since Superman is their creation, 46 episodes. You know, they bring in people that either had a good run or wrote them really well in the comics or some epic comic story.
Right.
And they have them write an episode or two, and it's just so amazing.
Well, this is the first, I think, Superman animated production that really worked hard to make the show, make the Superman universe feel like the comics, where Superman actually does punch people, and he does, you know, get into brawls, and he is more authoritative. He's not just flying around saving kittens and catching planes smiling at the camera while he's out in space. You know, I mean, it's interesting because Superman is a character that, for the most part, is actually defined more by, I think, TV shows and movies than he is by the comics. Most people know Superman for the Chris Reeve films and for the TV shows. So, you know, this was really notable that it reversed that trend, that it didn't, you know, make most stuff up, or didn't, you know, it didn't try to reinvent the wheel like Superman the movie did. Mm-hmm. It didn't just copy those movies like some of the other TV shows, like Superboy did. You know, it actually went to the comics, and it found the best elements of what was then the current run of Superman, and it brought it to animation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Getting into the actual show here, I'm not going to read the overall overview, all of it, but one of the one of the biggest changes to the Superman origin is that the evil computer Brainiac was not only from Krypton, but was portrayed as responsible for preventing the knowledge of Krypton's imminent destruction from reaching its people so as to save himself rather than be committed in the presumably futile task of saving the population of the planet. In addition, the ship that carried the infant Kal-El to Earth was designed to have a pilot, and the autopilot used instead was programmed to land smoothly upon reaching its destination. This means that the ship is in perfect working condition during Superman's adulthood and is used as his mode of long-range transportation in space.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as he wears a helmet in space.
I appreciate that they didn't make Superman, you know, like that guy who can just, like, traverse the entire galaxy in 20 minutes. It's like, really? If he can do that, then he can do anything and there's no show anymore, you know? So I like the fact that he can't breathe in space, that he is a little bit more human-like, you know. I appreciate the other versions, too, where he can breathe in space. That's fine. But, you know, for this show, I like the fact that he can't breathe in space and he's a spaceship. Brainiac, his change from the comics was brilliant. I mean, you know, he's basically Krypton's master control program, and that was such an awesome, awesome move, to the point where every version of Brainiac after this has copied it. They're like, oh yeah, that's the way to do it. You know, they change the character, and it's great. It has that same connection, because, you know, in the comics, Brainiac he shrunk down and basically kidnapped the entire Kryptonian city of Kandor, put it in a bottle. But in this one, he literally kept the Kryptonians from leaving Krypton, thus essentially being responsible for their deaths. And so he committed genocide indirectly. And, you know, whenever I show my friends this show, I always show them the three-part pilot. I'm like, here, watch this. And then we immediately watch Brainiac's return in, what's it called? Stolen Memories.
Yeah, where Stolen Memories.
Back, where Superman finds out what he did to his father and to his people, and he is pissed, and it's like, yes. So Brainiac was a great, a very well reinvented character for the show.
Yeah, exactly. And Brainiac was just... The thing about that I loved about Last Son of Krypton, the three-parter that started the series, was you've got – I don't know off the top of my head who voiced Lara, his mother. You've got friggin' Shooter McGavin, Christopher McDonald, as Jor-El. That's amazing.
I never knew it was him until someone pointed it out, and I was like, oh, my God, you're right.
I know McDonald's voice anywhere. I've seen Happy Gilmore so many times that I know that voice. And I was like, oh, wow, so awesome.
And then they brought him back to voice the older Kal-El in Batman Beyond. And that was pretty awesome.
Yes, they did.
And he came back too in Justice League, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did briefly. I believe it was for The Man Who Has Everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. The episode I was talking about earlier with Loana and Van Allen and all that. Since we're talking about the actual show and some of the episodes, one of the biggest things for this, at least in my opinion, was World's Finest.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love that movie.
Me too.
I know specifically to the show it's a three-parter, but they also released a direct-to-video film of it, film version of it, without the – it has the cutscenes where, like, I remember one of the cutscenes was when Bruce tagged his cape, and he's like – he picks up the tracer and smashes it, and he's like, ah, touche. Or he says the line touche. And it just ends. And normally in the episodic version, it would end and go to the credits. But here in the movie, it's just one fluid thing. And I absolutely love World's Finest.
Oh, yeah, me too. It was so weird when, because this was the first time I'd ever seen any crossover of any, you know, show or anything. Because, you know, I was, I think, 8 at the time. I remember we went to the video store, you know, this is back when Blockbuster was still in business, you know. Actually, it was Hollywood Video. So we were just going there, and, you know, I, of course, walked straight over to the VHS tapes. And I was 8. I didn't know it was coming out soon. You know, I didn't – the internet was, like, barely around even back then. But, you know – so anyway, I walk over there, and I see this thing. It's like the Superman – or the Batman-Superman movie. And I pick it up. I look at it, and I'm like, there's Batman and Superman and Lex Luthor and the Joker – on the same cover, and I was like, no. Because I knew the way that the show worked. It was called The New Batman Superman Adventures at the time, but they weren't together. They were separate. You know, you had your Superman, then you had your Batman. So I figured they were, maybe it was like, you know, a couple Superman episodes, a couple Batman episodes. I look at the back, and there's like a screenshot on there. It's like, there's Batman and Superman looking at each other, talking. And I'm like, wait a minute. No way, they're actually talking to each other? So I, like, ran to my parents. I was like, we have to rent this. It's Superman and Batman together. And then they were like, really? Oh, cool. All right, awesome. I was like, yes! So, yeah, this like, blew my mind as a kid. And it's so, so well done.
Yeah, it's just amazing. It's a great story. It's just amazing. The dynamic between the two of them, between Batman and Superman, starts with this crossover in the DCAU, because if you start with Justice League and you see in the beginning of Secret Origins when the two of them have the bickering back and forth or they trade quips, if you haven't seen World's Finest before that, you would probably feel out of place, but oh wow, just so awesome.
Yeah, their chemistry is impossibly good. I mean, it's insane just how well those two characters and those two actors work together. I mean, and they really found all the best ways to have them interact. And
right,
it's
exactly.
Great.
And the other thing about Daly versus Newbern, which again for me there is no real versus with them because I like them both mm-hmm. as Superman.
Right, right.
The thing about it is, like I was saying, if you had watched Justice League Secret Origins first, where you have Newbern as Superman, you'd probably be taken aback. But see, for me, it was different. For me, it was, oh, and that's where, when I first watched Secret Origins, that's where I never realized that it wasn't, that it was somebody different because of the banter back and forth between Kevin Conroy and
I gotcha.
Characters because they kept the banter up. And I'm like, wow, it's just like when World's Finest was on. But oh, wait, no, exactly. That's not Tim Daly.
Well, I mean, if you look at that pilot, too, with Secret Origins, essentially the first part is just a World's Finest episode. And then eventually, like, you know, they have all the same things. You have Batman in his bat plane,
yep.
Fighting those, you know, those three-legged robots just like in World's Finest, mm-hmm. you know. But then it's like, oh, no, even with their powers combined, they can't beat them. So it's like it's literally taking World's Finest and taking it to the next step in Secret Origin.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's saying, oh, we need even more heroes now. So, yeah.
I can't believe you worked in a Captain Planet reference there. Oh, God.
That was not intentional, I promise.
Yeah, well, whenever anyone ever says, let our powers combine, it's...
I think of the Wonder Twins, but I guess that's not where that came from, huh?
Yeah.
dang it. I should stop using that now.
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to bring up was midway through the series' run, it was combined with the new Batman Adventures to become the new Batman Superman Adventures. Superman TAS itself was renamed the new Superman Adventures, acknowledged by the WB. The characters of Superman and Batman were then spun off into a new animated series, Justice League, which also featured other popular DC Comics characters, including Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Jon Stewart, Martian Manhunter, Hot Girl, and The Flash. This series, yes, it does have its bad episodes like, oh, what's that one where Lois has the award and Lightner is after her?
Target?
Yeah. Yeah, that one wasn't that great. But overall, just Superman the Animated Series was just amazing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, do you remember the episode? I'm sure you do. You remember the episode of Batman Beyond the Call?
Oh, yeah.
The Call to Part 2 where mm-hmm. They break out of... the fortress, and Starro is controlling the gray-suited Superman, or the black-suited Superman, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And they play this really, really dark STAS theme.
Uh-huh.
I freaking loved that. I love when they do alterations like that.
Yeah, yeah.
To the original theme to make it fit to whatever scene they're trying to do it. Like, you know, at different points when Batman is on screen in Justice League or whatever, sometimes they will play the BTAS theme.
Uh-huh.
And just hearing stuff like that is just amazing to me. So,
right.
I guess give me your top three favorite episodes and I'll give you mine and then we'll move on.
Oh, man, I got to think about this one. Well, the late Mr. Kent is definitely up there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the entire series run now, huh? Let's see. Stolen Memories, I think, is another one. I mentioned that one already. But, yeah, I think that was a really great way to make Superman and to make the Krypton story personal for him. Because most Superman origin stories, it's like... You don't quite get why he cares so much about his planet. It's like, well, sure, but I mean, the thing is, you know, if you talk to, like, you know, kids who were adopted, it's like, well, yeah, you know, they're kind of curious about their biological parents, but it's not going to drive them mad, almost like it seems like it does with Superman. Of course, he's an alien, so it makes a bit more sense, but still, it's like, this episode, I think, really made it a very strong personal thing. It made Brainiac a very good villain, and it also had some good stuff with Lex Luthor and him having to work with Superman, where they had to find common ground as, like, you know, Earthlings fighting against this evil invader. Aside from that, I think There's a lot of them that I really love, but I actually kind of think The Main Man Parts 1 and 2 with Lobo. Yeah. I mean, whenever I show my friends that, they almost die laughing. It's just
because it's Lobo.
It's so amazing. It's just, it's so much fun, you know. So yeah, I think those three probably. I love so many more, but if I
I mean, there's so many more to. I mean, like I said, there's only maybe, at least in my overall opinion of sheer enjoyment. Like if I was gonna sit down and watch this series from start to finish just for sheer enjoyment and not for reviewer's sake, there's a lot of episodes I can overlook. There's some that I really can't, but I mean, the majority of it is out of, what is it, 3 seasons, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it was. There's only maybe 2, 3, maybe 4 total episodes that I can't watch that I just don't want to watch. Other than that, for me, most of the two-parters, you know, Apocalypse Now, Main Man, Legacy, just a lot of those two-part story type stuff. I really, really enjoyed those. So up next, before the music segment, you are going to hear, this is the last time I will play it on TuneCast, I promise, but you are going to hear the new Batman Superman Adventures theme because I love it. It's just a mash. It's just a mash between BTAS and STAS, and it's awesome. I played it in last week's episode for BTAS, but you're going to hear it one more time, and I also might try to find, I might try to get a good version of the Dark Superman the Animated Series theme from that Batman Beyond episode we talked about. So we will be back after this.
Than a speeding bullet.
I remember when we did the music on this show, Chris did a really interesting thing where Superman's chasing Batman across the frozen tundra, right. And he's playing the Superman theme, but it's like really off kilter and not necessarily evil, but it just sounds wrong. It just sounds weird, and it's all like in minor chords and stuff, and it's just really cool and creepy. And was it Adam Van Wyck's idea to have Superman flying upright at that point?
Yeah, that was one of the first times we did that, yeah.
It's really cool. It makes him, because normally we're so used to seeing him flying horizontal, and there he's just standing straight up and just kind of like levitating. And it was like, wow, that's weird.
In a way, I felt really bad in retrospect about this episode, because when you were doing Justice League, I was thinking like, well, they'll probably work Starro in at some point. And I go, no, well, already did Starro, and we have to keep him away because there's a continuity problem.
Yeah, I think Starro did come up in conversation several times while we were working on Justice League, but, you know, I was never a huge Starro fan anyway, so it's like, I don't regret not getting to use him in Justice League. I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know, you need all 7 of those guys to fight, you know, giant starfish?
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, that was awesome music. You wanted to bring up something before we move actually into the music. You wanted to talk about the premiere three-part pilot.
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot. Actually, The Last Son of Krypton, Parts 1, 2, and 3, that's actually my top episode overall. My favorite Superman origin, it does so many things right. The entire first episode is set on Krypton. You get to see its final days. You get to see Jor-El being like the action hero, firing off laser pistols on his hover bike and, you know, running from the cops, which is so weird for Jor-El, but, you know, and it's a great, awesome first episode, and you know, it's the entire three episode arc is brilliant. I think it's you know, I mean, yeah, it's my definitive version of Superman, of course, but I think this pilot goes a long way in doing that, the way it establishes the character and the world and everything. It's just, it's perfect. So, yeah.
Yeah, they really nailed it doing the Last Son of Krypton three-parter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just amazing. It's almost like, and it reminds me so much of Schneider and O'Toole in Smallville, whereas Martha and Jonathan in Smallville are those types of parents that will do anything for Clark
right
here on Earth. But Last Son of Krypton, now that I'm thinking about it, Jor-El and Lara, they themselves in Superman the Animated Series are the animated versions of Clark's Earth parents.
I hadn't thought about that, but you're right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, just thinking about it, if you look at John Schneider and O'Toole's Jonathan and Martha, and you look at Christopher McDonald's, and I forget who does Lara off the top of my head.
Some awesome British lady.
I think it's Finola Hughes. Let me look it up really quick. But, yeah, just amazing, amazing stuff. And it was just one of those parallels that I just kind of drew on my own that... That was just awesome because, like you know, like you said, they're willing to do anything.
Right. You know, I think actually, you know, I mean, in that first episode, they're only really in the show for just the first 22 minutes. But in those 22 yeah. minutes, you fall in love with those characters, and when they die, your heart's broken. You know.
Oh, I know it. Yeah.
It's just it's amazing, and I think this was what made me really. Even though I already loved Superman as a kid, just because he was awesome and he had powers and he had that cool blue suit and the red cape, you know, I think that opening episode really made me, you know, love the Superman universe just because it made it really personal. So yeah, you know, Jor-El and Lara, they're amazing in this series.
And I was right; it was Finola Hughes.
Good job.
Yeah, well, the only reason why I know it was her because, and I'm ashamed to admit this, but a number of years ago, for some strange reason, don't ask me why, I was addicted to watching ABC daytime soaps, and she was on General Hospital.
Ah. Well, okay.
Yeah, I know. I know. I should turn my geek right in now. I know. I know.
It's okay. It's okay. You have a
geek. The other thing I should point out here, Sullivan in Last Son of Krypton was voiced by Tony Jay. Tony Jay is an amazing voice actor.
Yeah, I really loved the whole family drama in that episode. Yep. How I like how Lara's family has the British accent, like they're more proper and everything. But Jor-El has like a straight up American accent. He's off, you know, fighting the police and running around, being the action hero. So there's that stark contrast, you know. And in the end, they have to come together. It's pretty great.
So moving into the music segment finally here, same people pretty much from BTS for STS. I think Lolita Romanus took the main bulk of the episodes. You also had Michael McQuestion, Christopher Carter, Harvey Cohen, and Shirley Walker doing a few episodes as well. Again, music for this show was just amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think Bruce Timm said it on one of the STAS DVD features that when they were coming up, when he was telling Lolita about how he wanted the theme song to sound, he wanted it to be able to sing Superman, Superman as it's going along, and that was just an amazing music cue. I'm crossing my fingers, it hasn't happened yet. Much like last week when I talked about the Batman the Animated Series soundtrack from La La Land Records, I'm hoping that Warner Brothers allows La La Land to make a Superman the Animated Series and Justice League soundtrack.
I'm sure they will one day.
Yeah, one day.
Yeah.
In the future. Let's see. There are a ton of references. I'm not going to go through them all. But let's see, in the episode The Main Man Part 2, one of these spaceships resembles the Batwing from the first Batman film.
It does, yeah, it's green, but yeah.
Yeah. of course, there's in Stolen Memories, Superman punches Brainiac's laser beam. Of course, that was a reference to the first Fleischer Brothers Superman cartoon.
It's an awesome moment.
Yes, it is very awesome. Let's see. Actor Sherman Howard, who portrayed Lex Luthor on the television series Superboy, played the Preserver on the two-parter episode The Main Man. Howard also auditioned to reprise his role for the animated series. However, Clancy Brown won the role. Howard would later be offered the role as Derek Powers on Batman Beyond. Oh, that's interesting.
That's very fitting, I think.
I did not know that. I mean, I knew that Sherman Howard was the Preserver, but I did not know that he was also Derek Powers. Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, we've got to talk about some of the post-Legacy Superman, STAS after Legacy, before Justice League. There was, you see at the beginning of Justice League, the human race appears to have forgiven him, which was Justice League as well. One of the creatures Superman brings back to the Fortress of Solitude after his battle with the Preserver is Starro. And in Batman Beyond, two-parter episode entitled The Call, which we talked about earlier, the creature escaped and was controlling Superman for some time until Terry Bat figured it out and helped him overcome it. Mm-hmm. And then there's... Oh, no. I don't think Mike and James listened to this show, so it's a good thing, because their ears are going to bleed. In Static Shock, the episode Toys in the Hood. I know they hate that episode. The story about Darcy the android and Toy Man from the third season's obsession comes to a conclusion.
Wait, what?
I think I was actually more shocked at Mike's reaction to that episode than I was at itself. I was like, wow, okay, this is
Yeah. We should also mention that people have long tried to say that Superman Brainiac Attacks, which is a direct-to-video DVD, is in STAS continuity. It is not. Yeah, it's so not. Yes, the voice actors are the same, but there's no way it's in continuity, because the whole story is different. It doesn't fit into anything within Superman the Animated Series whatsoever. What'd you say? You're breaking up.
Am I still here?
Yeah, you're still here, but you're breaking up a little bit.
I don't know why that's going on. But... Yeah, well, I would say it was made that like a captain on the so you because that was a cheap way of doing all that pre-production work, but it's not intended to actually continue any story whatsoever.
Yeah, no, it has no bearing on Superman the Animated Series whatsoever. As far as, I didn't know that there was, interesting, I didn't know there was video games for it. Superman the Animated Series, much like Batman the Animated Series and other Warner Brothers cartoons adopted from popular DC comic books, has released on DVD. First released January 25th, 2005, though it did not receive the same disc transfer as Batman TAS did. The second disc of each volume was given the Side A-B treatment. The DVDs present the series episodes in their airing order, along with special features. Bottom line, much like every other DCAU show at this point, get the complete series. Superman the Animated Series, I know for a fact, was not a limited edition like Batman the Animated Series and like Batman Beyond is. I believe you can get it on Amazon for under $40.
It's $20.99 when I last checked.
Ah.
So yeah, the entire show for $21. That's a just stop listening to this, pause the podcast, and go buy it.
Exactly. Yeah. Although it's not in the DCAU continuity, Superman, Batman, Public Enemies, and Apocalypse were also on DVD as well, where Tim Daly reprises the role as the Man of Steel in both the movies. Apocalypse Now Part 2 was later altered from its original airing on February 7th, 1998. Originally, Dan Turpin's funeral at the end of the episode end was a true homage to late New Gods creator Jack Kirby and featured several of his comic creations as attendees to the funeral, including Nick Fury, Fantastic Four, Big Barda, Scott Free, Orion, and others, alongside Kirby's friends and fans, Mark Evanier, Bruce Timm, Paul Dini, Alex Ross, his father, Norman Ross, and Stan Lee. These characters and persons were later removed, and the scene pacing was re-edited for subsequent airings as its DVD release on Superman TAS Volume 3, Disc 3. The original sketches for the scene can be found at Michael Urie's book, The Krypton Companion Book, published by Tomorrow's Publishing. Neither DC nor Warner ever commented on the decision to alter this particular scene, but copyright issues regarding the use of likenesses of Marvel Comics characters might justify the deletion. Superman differences between BTAS and STAS. STAS was originally meant to have an opening montage similar to the one that Batman had, showcasing what Superman could do in an awe-inspiring manner, but the animators were unable to finish it by the deadline, so a montage featuring clips of Superman in action alongside his supporting cast from the episodes were utilized instead. I like that intro better. I honestly do.
Which one?
The one that we have. The clip intro, where it's just different adventures of Superman and the cast versus Superman out on a nightly errand and he punches somebody in the face.
Well, I mean, we don't really know what all would have happened. So, I mean, I wish that they had eventually, maybe like in season two or whatever, you know, made the new intro just because I would have liked to have seen it. But, you know, I mean, yeah, it's fine. I didn't realize it wasn't the intended intro. I thought it was fine as a kid. You know, it wasn't until I read this that I was like, oh, it's not the original one. But
yeah, no, you know, it wasn't. I believe Bruce Timm mentions it on one of the DVD commentaries.
Yeah, he does.
That he said that originally it was supposed to have some sort of Christopher Reeve type feel, like some sort of, John Williams. Is it John Williams that did...
Yeah.
The Superman the movie score?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. It was supposed to have some sort of John Williams feel to it as far as the music and as far as the way that it was supposed to look. But right. I'm happy with what we have, so.
Yeah, I mean, it works out just fine.
Yes, it does. So with that, we're going to take yet another break and going to go to some commercials and ads and possibly voicemails. Don't know yet. Haven't received any voicemails as of the recording, but I may ask for some voicemails afterwards. And then we'll come back with the outro.
Tooncast will be back after these messages.
Hey, guys. Raphael here of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Did you say podcast? Dudes, dudettes, you're listening to the podcast on the Geekcast Radio Network. Cowabunga!
Hey guys, this is Optimus Solo from the Geekcast Radio Network, and I was thinking the other day that maybe I've been too hard on the folks over at IGN. I mean, they had to put some effort into their top 100 animated series of all time list, right? I mean, maybe it's just me that wants to punch a baby when I read it. So in all fairness, I thought we should gather some of the people who were involved with this list and get their opinions. So what do you guys think about the IGN list?
I didn't think it was physically possible, but this both sucks and blows.
Okay, anyone else?
Dumb. Those dudes are so dumb.
I'm afraid to ask, but anyone else?
Epic fail.
Homer, they put your show at the top of your list. You gotta like their list, right?
I stand by my disappointed groan.
So I guess we should do something about it then.
Are you pondering what I'm pondering?
I am, Brain. I think we should unveil the Geekcast Radio Network's Top 100 Animated Series of All Time list.
I second that emotion.
And I know that our list will be much better than the IGN list. You know why?
We watch a lot of TV.
That and the fact that we are teaming up with This Week in Geek, the Pop Culture Network, Chicken Pop Pod, and some other great geek sites.
By your powers combined,
we will give you a list geeks everywhere can be proud of.
This is Dr. Wily, and I will destroy Mega Man while listening to Tooncast!
This is Megatron, leader of the Predacons. And if you're hearing this, it means the Beast Unleashed podcast is now over. Yes. In the Beast Unleashed, myself, Steve Megatron Phillips, P. Pecan Court Michael Wilson and TFG1 Mike review Beast Wars and Beast Machines in the very first podcast of its kind. Yes. In the podcast, we interview voice actors, writers from the show, and talk in-depth trivia between everything in between. So, if you're interested, you can tune in to the now-finished Beast Unleashed podcast over on GeekCastRadio.com. Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Excellent! Yes!
Hello, nurses and friends of nurses. Yakko Warner here, and you're listening to a podcast on the GeekCast Radio Network. Lucky you.
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, GeekCastRadio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight. I see a new episode of ToonCast coming this week.
Welcome to a collaboration between the GeekCast Radio Network and the Pop Culture Network. This is From the Command Center, the podcast. I am your host, TFG1 Mike from the GCRN, and joining me is Zordon himself. Scotty Cash.
That's right, Scotty Cash from the Pop Culture Network, and today we're introducing you to the audio version of From the Command Center, the podcast that will tell our intake on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the episodes, the seasons, and all that other good stuff.
So, final thoughts on Superman the Animated Series, sir?
Oh, man. Awesome, amazing series. Not just, you know, an integral part of my childhood, but, you know, an integral part of, you know, my comics fandom and my geekdom. And I think it's the definitive version of the Superman universe. I think it's an absolutely amazing series, you know, of the utmost high quality in every possible way. I think it's notable in that, you know, it shows Superman being markedly different than Christopher Reeve, yet still being just as compelling. I think even more compelling in certain ways, maybe less in others. But you know, I think Clark Kent as a character, the fact that he's not bumbling, the fact that he's very direct and clever and clear, but he uses cleverness to hide his identity, not, you know, just acting like an idiot. Yeah. I think that's really great. I think it makes you able to relate to Clark Kent and Superman on a certain level, because that way you know that he's being himself when he's Clark. He's just hiding his powers. And I think that's really great for his relationships. You know, I think just in every possible way, the action, the music, the dialogue, just everything about this show is great. It gets kind of overlooked in hindsight because, you know, it's not Batman the Animated Series, basically. I think it's not as good as Batman in certain ways, but in other ways it's a lot better. So I think, anyone who is even vaguely interested in comic books or Superman or anything has to check this out.
Exactly. Thank you for joining us here on Tooncaster. So ways to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each episode post. Join the forums over at Geekcast Radio or PredaconEmpire.com. Let's see what else. One moment here. You can leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. I'm checking right now as I'm talking because I'm delaying myself. I feel like Robin Williams. Good morning, Vietnam. Anyway, we did get, we get an updated review from that person that I talked about last episode, Fooch41, February 22nd, is a 5-star review. Basically says the same things. He loves listening. He's hoping for Rocko's Modern Life, Beavis and Butthead. Those are all potentials. That all the stuff that you list in your review, Fooch41, that's all potential DeLorean Time episodes for Tooncast Beyond. And then he also says that Tooncast helps him through the work week, and he's glad that we are doing Tooncast Beyond. Thank you for the review. We greatly appreciate it. You can follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCR and Tooncast, mine is TFG on Mike. And did you just sign up for Twitter, or did you already have it?
I signed up for it a while back, but I changed my name, started a new account, and yeah, my Twitter is Super Aaron Man. That's SuperAaronMan. So yeah,
cool. You can become a fan of us on Facebook. We just hit 200 fans/friends. You go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving a message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast. I wish you'll join us next time when Aaron will be returning with myself and Steve Megatron will be back. We'll be continuing the DCAU Spotlight with Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
For now, I am TFG on Mike with
Nightwing, Aaron Ross.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.